Hey guys, this segment brought to you by my friends at the Sleep Apnea and Treatment Center. If you snore, you need better sleep. You might even have some health problems that need to be treated. So get that problem fixed. Give Dr. Kevin Postal and his staff a call, 636-394-6044, or you can log on to gotquietsleep.com. They're located at 15208 Manchester Road in Baldwin. Once again, 636-394-6044, or visit gotquietsleep.com. And if you do that, I'll stop with the annoying snoring commercials.
Welcome back to the People's Show on CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com.
Back here on the People's Show, CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com. My name is Patrick Emmett, coming to you live from Bass Pro Shops as the soothing sounds of Motorhead bring us back from a break. And we are hoping to be joined by Jude Hassan. He is a St. Louis native, public speaker and author, and also a really good dude. At any rate, while we are waiting, I think what we should do is remind people that the Busch Signature Lager is available for tasting right now here at the Bass Pro Shops on 5th Street in St. Charles. We did get some texts and also a phone call. We're going to actually head out to the people's phone lines right now. Tom is waiting patiently. He wants to talk about the shot clock situation in college basketball. Tom, you're on the People's Show with Pat Emig. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Yourself?
Hey, not too bad. Hey, what I wanted to say about the shot clock you were talking about, I wonder if one of the things about the shot clock being 35 seconds, the teams that want to play fast, the better teams, they should be able to dictate that. However, the 35-second shot clock might allow some of the teams that are not quite as good to kind of hang around so that, you know, the game does mean something at the end of the game. And really, I think as far as the end of the game not being exciting like it should be, there really is no way around it. What ruins the games at the end of the game are the timeouts. I don't know if they give them too many timeouts or what the deal is, but the end of the game with the amount of timeouts that they can call is just, it's brutal to me anyway.
Tom, what do you mean when you say that the better team should be able to dictate that? You're just talking about within the confines of the rules we already have, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, if I'm the better, faster team or whatever, if I want to shoot in 15 seconds, I'll shoot in 15 seconds. I'll full court press you. I'll force you into shooting faster than you want to shoot. So I think that the team should be able to dictate the pace of the game. And then one other thing you said, if I heard you right, in Minnesota, the scoring went up when they went to the 2 18-minute halves. Well, it's an extra 4 minutes of playing time, so that'll obviously add to the score also. You know, if they went from 4 8-minute quarters.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that when I was looking at the data. Thank you for pointing that out, Tom.
Hey, no problem. Hey, thanks, man.
All right, that's Tom. This college basketball thing, it is interesting because according to some of those reports that I was reading, back in 1992, they had 30 million viewers for a Leitner Kentucky basketball game. Now, that was obviously one of the bigger games in college hoops history, but at the time, you didn't know that. Nowadays, NCAA title games get roughly, 20 minutes or so. We got some texts on this situation. Let's see if we can get through. From the 314, well, this actually is related completely to the previous show, Middle Relief. From the 314, Joe Roderick, ooh, the worms are icky. Apparently Joe Roderick is afraid to touch fish. From the 314, regarding speeding up college basketball games, if you want to speed the game up, put technical fouls on anything that happens in the last 2 minutes. Well, how's that going to speed the game up? If you put technical fouls on anything that happens in the last 2 minutes, you're actually going to be putting people on the line. But feel free to clarify that one. And then regarding this same topic from the 314. I would be for a 30-second shot clock, but the problem with a shot clock, like the NBA, is that it turns the game more into a one-on-one game and less of a passing game. There was no shot clock at all in the 70s. Did anyone really complain about classics like Notre Dame stopping UCLA's 88-game win streak or the Bird Magic Championship? It wasn't an issue at the height of college basketball's popularity. That's from Chuck. That's a nice text as well. I would argue that with the shorter shot clock, I actually do think they pass the ball more because they're forced to. You can't – guys today in the college game especially, they'll take 9.5 seconds to just kind of lollygag – not lollygag, but you know what I'm saying. Walk slowly up the court and, you know, it doesn't – the sense of urgency isn't there. When you have a 24-second clock, you have to make your move and you got to make some passes and do things at a much – quicker pace. Got some more texts. We'll get into those later on in this hour. Right now, pleased to be joined by a good friend of mine, also a man doing some great things here in St. Louis for our Good People segment, Mr. Jude Hassan joining us. Jude, thanks for us taking some time out from your busy schedule to join us here on the People Show. How you doing today?
Hey, Pat. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Good. First off, I guess let's just kind of explain your story to the people of St. Louis. You've written a book. It's called Suburban Junkie. You also started the not-for-profit group. And what is it that you guys are really trying to do and bring awareness to?
Well, we're trying to bring awareness to heroin prevention. I was involved in heroin and drug abuse as a whole, as a adolescent. I got involved when I was probably about 15 years old, and for the next 10 years was struggling with addiction up until my 20s. And now I'm just trying to raise awareness to the issue, get as many people to pay attention to the issue as possible, really.
And how would you characterize, I mean, this is something we could probably talk about for hours and hours.
Sure.
So it's a deep layered issue. But if you had to try to kind of sum up things right now, how serious is the issue? Just maybe on a local scale here in St. Louis and the suburbs in the suburban community.
Well, it's extremely serious, and I see it on a daily basis where I work at Bridgeway. Every day people come in and are at a very low point in their lives. I grew up in the suburbs, and that's really where it started for me. But it's really anywhere around St. Louis, heroin has kind of taken over the city, not only among young people, but just really every demographic. It's a very serious issue, and it's an epidemic, actually. So, you know, I see it on an everyday basis where I work, and you know, through the organization, we go out and we try and speak to children, adolescents in the high schools and the middle schools, and let the parents know, you know, to watch what their kids are doing, be aware that this drug's out there, and that and you know, do everything that they possibly can to keep them away from this.
And with your work at Bridgeway, you're obviously involved with this pretty much on a day-to-day basis. What is, and then you're also going out and speaking publicly at schools and really anywhere that'll have you. What is something that people of St. Louis and people across the country, really, if they were tuned into you, what can be done other than just monitoring? Are there telltale signs? I mean, from your experience with it?
Yeah, there are, you know, you really have to talk to your kids early on. You have to get them at a young age, and you have to sit down and talk to them. That's something that my parents never did. You know, my father was a drug counselor, so I guess the logic was, you know, hey, my son's never going to grow up and be a heroin addict. But, you know, it happened to me, and it's happened to a lot of kids that you would never think would, you know, get on a drug like this. And so talking to them early and kind of watching their habits, watching who they're hanging out with, you know, any change in their habits really should be a sign that something's going on. And that's kind of what I tell parents.
Jude Hassan joining us right now on the People Show, CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com. You can look up suburbanjunkie.com. That's the website for your guys' foundation. And then also the book, which I have read, and it's very I told your wife, Rachel, this last year when I actually read the book, that it's an uplifting book from the standpoint of, you know, you're a survivor, but it's also very harrowing, I guess you could call it. And what's something from, like, your personal experience that you take with you every day that you always make sure to mention when you go out and speak at schools and speak to parents as well as their kids?
Sure. You know, even though I've been removed from that scene for almost 7 years now, I always remember, you know, everything that I went through. I can never forget, you know, the person that I once was and still am. And I wish I could go back in time and take back a lot of the things that I did. But, you know, people do make mistakes. Kids make mistakes. And the best thing you can do is really just learn from that mistake and kind of turn it around as fast as you can. But, you know, when I was younger and I was 15 and I was, you know, attention seeking and I was, you know, wanting to make as many friends as I possibly could, and I was in a new school and on and on and on, that wasn't, you know, something that was high on my priority list. I just, you know, I got caught up in this scene and I didn't learn from my mistakes, and I just kept going further and further on this dark road. And looking back, I really wish that I could have taken back a lot of those things, but, you know, it's just about learning from, you know, past mistakes, like I said, and trying to move on from that.
And you were a straight A student, and then once you started using, things kind of went south for you. You also talk in the book about your use of marijuana, and that's always a hot topic, not just in the sports world, but everywhere.
Right.
What do you, and now that you work at Bridgeway, you're, you know, involved in the drug community a lot. What do you say to those who maybe think that marijuana should be legalized, or at least be legalized medicinally? What's your standpoint on that?
Well, personally, that's where it started with me, was with marijuana. And that's what I see on an everyday basis here at Bridgeway, is kids starting with weed and alcohol and moving on to harder drugs. I'd say it's about, you know, it's like 95% of the time. They start with weed and then they move on to, you know, painkillers, and then it's heroin. And it's just a fact. It's something that you can't, you know, not pay attention to. And so in my personal, you know, from my personal experience, you know, legalizing weed, I don't think is a good idea at all. I think that it could lead to other things. And, you know, when I was a kid, my dad always told me, you know, coming from a counselor's background, you know, that's what he always told me, is it was a gateway drug. So I grew to hate that term. But now that I'm, you know, working in the same field that he did, it's kind of hard to ignore that that did lead me down a path that led to other drugs. You're hanging out, you know, so It's something that people are debating right now, and it's obviously something that's unavoidable. But, you know, from a personal stance, I don't think it's a great way to go.
Jude Hassan joining us here on the People Show with Pat Emick, CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com. He runs the non-for-profit organization Suburban Junkie, for trying to raise awareness and trying to fight this heroin epidemic that is out of control. Just a couple minutes for you, and I'll let you get back to work, because I know your time spent at work is just is more important. But talk about just the way that the drug itself has changed, because I didn't even realize this until I met up with you last year and we started talking about the topic. I mean, kids today can do this in pill form now, right? I mean, is that correct? Is that how severe this has gotten?
Correct. Yeah, back when I was using, you know, it was more crude black tar form of the drug, and that's really all you can find in St. Louis. And, you know, now it's turned, you know, it's the thing that's mostly available is powder, and that's what has kind of taken the city, is because it's cheap. It's available in this little capsule. It looks like, you know, little little granules of flour, and you can snort it. You don't, you know, there's no stigma attached with shooting up anymore. And so it's kind of made its way into the mainstream. It's made its way into the suburban party life, and that's how it's gotten dangerous. Like I said, kids kind of start with opiates, painkillers, and then they kind of move on to heroin. And this drug is extremely dangerous. It's more potent nowadays. It's often cut with, you never know what these, you know, the drug dealers are cutting it with. They could put anything and everything in it. Kids are dying left and right from it.
So what can, I'll leave you with a couple questions and then I'll let you go. What can people do if they want to help in, help the cause, I guess? Just visit the website and read up as much as possible?
Sure. Yeah, that's definitely a way to go. If you have children, like I said, just trying to, you know, be aware that this is out there. I don't want to scare people, but, you know, it's out there. And if you've lived in the St. Louis community, you've probably heard about it. And if you just want to get involved, you can go to the website the Facebook page. A portion of the proceeds from the book go to, me speaking to kids more and more. So there's different things that you can do for sure.
And now you're a survivor. You've got a beautiful wife and a beautiful baby. I guess just leave us with a parting shot. Why are you so strong, I guess, and being honest and forthright? I guess you just want to get this message out, correct?
Yeah, basically. I've lost a lot of friends to the drug, and it's just something that is close to my heart. You know, I don't want to see any more people struggle with this drug, with this addiction. It's once it takes hold of your life, really, it's so hard to go back. And I just want to see more and more people shy away from this and never get started with it. And that's kind of my cause. You know, if I go and speak to 1,000 kids, if I'm reaching a small percentage of them, that's great. But it's something that will always be dear to my heart.
All right, Jude, we'll definitely appreciate your honesty and coming on the show, and we'd be happy to promote any events you might be doing in the future. Just stay in the loop and keep in touch with me, and I'll be sure to let everybody know to check out your website as well at suburbanjunkie.com.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Jude Hassan, a friend of mine and also a St. Louis native, grew up in the suburbs, and he is living proof of the reality of the situation. And it's taboo maybe to talk about, but figure it's good to shine a spotlight on people who are trying to do good things here in St. Louis from time to time, as much as we do like to have fun here on the People Show. We're going to take a break, come back. I'll read through some of your texts regarding the college basketball and everything else. We'll wrap everything up and get you ready for the drive home with Ray and Strauss. Here at Bass Pro Shops, 5th Street in St. Charles, it is the Disney World for adults. I bring my father here when he's crabby because it puts a smile on his face. Come on out here. Check it out. We've got the Busch Signature Series special as well for the tasting. Tickets to give away. Plenty of stuff going on. Come join us. We'll take a break. Be back in about 3 or 4 minutes.